Praise God. We are looking tonight once again at Matthew chapter 6. If you'll turn there with me, and we're going to read these verses that, and I hope that over these services tonight and then again next weekend, next Sunday morning, that as we keep on impressing you with this important truths, that we will catch hold of the vision and the possibilities that we have in the Lord. Amen. Our future is as bright as the promises of God. Amen. Amen. And so we look to the Lord today. We look to His Word. And we know that from His Word that we glean strength, and we're edified, and we're blessed and challenged. And I've been asking the Lord to do that for me over these last couple of weeks. I've been looking at this this theme, and just praying that the Lord will speak to us about the way that He wants to strengthen us, to empower us for the challenges that are just ahead for us in this year 2012. Obviously, this year, we don't know what this year holds. I'm not worried about the Mayan calendar and the world's coming to an end according to the Mayan calendar, and I'm not worried about that. We need to pay attention to the Word of God and keep our eyes on the sky. Amen. And we have an assurance of confidence that if the Lord comes, it's not something that's dreaded by the saints of God. It's a blessed hope. Amen. Praise God. Let's read here in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And then skipping down to verse 16, not that the other verses aren't important, for our topic here tonight, we're looking here at verses 16 through 18. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Praise God. I hope you'll get a hold of that. That God delights in working in our life in a visible way whenever we are willing to have a private, secret relationship with the Lord. Amen. In each of these cases, each of these disciplines that Jesus is encouraging, each one of them, the almsgiving, the prayer, and the fasting, all of them, the perversion of it was that they would do it in a public way. When they fasted, they would disfigure their face and they looked like that they were all, you know, abused and mistreated. And they did that because they wanted everyone to say, look at them. They're fasting. They must really be holy. Or if a person would pray, that they would pray every 3 hours and they would make sure that they were in a public place when the hour of prayer would come, so that they would, on a street corner somewhere, just start praying and everyone would admire them because they were a person of prayer. Even the giving, they would sound the trumpets and a big fanfare would take place whenever that they were giving, because they wanted everyone to see that they were giving. But the scripture says, which was really a proverb, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, which is just a proverb that just literally meant, make sure that when you are giving, that you're doing it in secret. And you don't make a big display of your giving. These are three disciplines in the life of a Christian that we're relating to that scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. A threefold cord is not easily broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. It has strength. The strands of this cord, when woven together, they provide strength. And I believe we're up against some real challenges in 2012. The church world, you are, I am, we all have a number of challenges before us. We need something extra. We need that extra power, extra strength that comes from a walk with the Lord, from living for the Lord, by spending time daily in prayer, by developing in our life these disciplines of giving, disciplines of prayer. And as we do that and we practice that on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, that we are giving and we are praying and we are fasting, that God can cause that threefold strand to be something powerful in our life. Amen. Facing the challenges of the day that we're in right now. Remember this wonderful promise. The things that are done in secret, God rewards openly. Glory to God. That God will manifest His mighty power in our behalf if we are willing to get along with the Lord. We're willing to spend time with the Lord. We're willing to be generous and to give to those that are in need, and to the work of the Lord, and to the work of the ministry, and wherever that you might see the need, that you're willing to give, and you don't have to have a lot of credit for it. I've known of people that when they give, they would give, but they wanted to make sure. They would go to someone, go to the pastor, go to the leader and say, here, I want to give you this, and it's for this such and such need. And not that that's a bad thing, but sometimes when people do that, they just want to make sure that people recognize that they are giving. And you have your reward, the scripture says, whenever you make a public thing of your devotion to God, whether it be in the area of giving, whether it be in our prayer or in our subject here tonight, fasting, the importance of this discipline of fasting. And I just want to, here in the very beginning here, on this first day of this new year and of this month of January, just to declare that January is for First Pentecostal Church, it is a month for fasting. Amen. I don't mean necessarily that you have to fast every day of the month, unless the Lord would definitely just speak to you and put it on your heart to fast that much. But that this month you would determine that I am, just like I bring my tithe, and it's the first fruits of what God blesses me with. And we come to the house of God on Sunday. We give Him the first day of the week. So I believe it would be pleasing to the Lord if this month of January we would even go beyond that, and with this extra strand of our devotion and commitment to the Lord, asking the Lord, Lord, we want power. We want extra strength and power. We need the dynamic of the power of the Spirit of God at work in our life. And we know that this is an essential part of it. So as you're able to, and as you will commit yourself to do this, most people, unless they have serious health problems or you know, other maybe things that I'm not aware of, complications in your life, most Christians can fast. The majority of Christians can fast. And the scripture is quite clear in the text that we have read for you here tonight. In verse 16, moreover, when you fast. When you fast. There was not an if you fast, but it was declared to be something that was important for every believer. It's a normal thing for Christians to find a time to fast and to determine, I'm going to do this. Amen. Now, did I say that it is easy? Absolutely not. Is it a big challenge for every one of us, every Christian? Oh, it is. But it is something that God has called us to, and so I believe that the Lord wants us to hear His voice and to obey the voice of the Lord. So what does it mean to fast? It means when you fast that you abstain from food for a certain period of time. It might be one meal. It might be three meals during the day. It might be for 3 days. It might be for 7 days and even longer as the Lord directs you to fast for extended amount of time. You say, well, that's just starvation. That's not really, how can that really matter to fast? Well, we're going to try to give you a little insight into that here tonight so we can see that whenever we fast, we are to do it with a spiritual goal. We're to have a spiritual purpose, a target in mind. Whenever we fast, we want to see something accomplished spiritually whenever we do it. And if we do not fast with a spiritual goal in mind, then we're really not going to accomplish really what the Lord wants us to accomplish. But we need to be reminded here tonight that that whenever we fast, that we have to have a spiritual goal, a desire that we want to see accomplished, and that the Lord has put this on our heart. We want to see something done for God. I've had several folks send me messages yesterday and today. At least two, maybe three people who have said something to me, and they've said, do something big for God in 2012. And so I've used that same phrase and to other people that I've sent messages back to them, and I've said, let's do something big for God in 2012. Quite frankly, I know that can't be accomplished unless we tap into something that is greater than we are, a might and a power that is greater than we are. And so we're going to have some spiritual goals in mind and a divine purpose so that we'll be motivated to call upon the Lord. Fasting is like a spiritual key that opens up doors. If you are spiritually dry in your soul, and by the way, if you're dry spiritually, you know it. Nobody has to tell you. You know where you are. You know if it's been a long time since you've really heard the voice of God, or you felt the presence of God, or you've really experienced a touch of God upon your life. And if you're in a season of spiritually, you're just dry in your soul and in your spirit, then there is a key that can cause the rain of heaven to begin to fall upon you. Amen. And that's fasting. Glory to God. If you feel like that there's just no real effectiveness, you're not really accomplishing anything for God or for the kingdom of God, you're spinning your wheels, you're trying, but you're not able to really get accomplished what you want to see accomplished, then it's time to use this key and to ask God to open the door to give you spiritual power so that you can be effective and do what God would have you to do. Amen. What happens whenever you fast is there becomes a new focus in your life. And, when someone is feeling sick, oftentimes they can't eat or they don't want to eat because their physical body literally wants a break from the food so that there can be all the strength and the healing energies of your body can heal itself. And so many times if you feel sick to your stomach, the best thing to do is don't eat. Amen. Amen. Don't eat and take a little break so that your body can kind of restore itself and all the strength and the energy that's normally used, for the digestion process and all of this is reserved so that the body can heal itself. And so really what happens whenever you fast is the other things become not important. Your physical body and the things of the flesh, the desire for food and those things are set aside so that there can be this focus upon the things of the Spirit. Amen. So when you fast, that you're also to be in prayer when you're fasting. You're also to be in the Word of God whenever you're fasting so that you can be, your spiritual man can be revived and that your eyes can be opened to spiritual things and you have a new level of sensitivity and a hunger for the things of God. Amen. According to the Word of God, there are certain victories that you're never going to be able to have unless you are willing to fast. There are certain battles you'll never be able to win. Certain strongholds that the enemy gets a hold of in your life. And you're never going to be able to see a victory come unless you are willing to fast. Matthew 17 and verse 14 through 21 is the story. Jesus and his disciples had come down from the Mount Transfiguration, and there they are met by a certain man who came to them and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falls into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Verse 21, "Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." There are certain victories, certain deliverances that will never come until we are willing to discipline ourselves to fast and to pray. Now, I don't know about you, but there's some things that I am experiencing and some needs that I have in my life and in my family that I need God to move in. I need some walls to come down. I need some victories to be realized. And some of these situations have gone on for years and years. And, it's just been trying this and trying that and going here and going there and spending all kinds of money to resolve the problem. But in reality, I do believe in my heart there are certain battles we're never going to win until we understand that some things, some victories will only come as we're willing to fast and pray. Amen. I believe that the Lord can help us with this second strand of this threefold cord to begin to practice this in our life. And I don't encourage you to go on a 14-day fast or a 21-day fast if you've not fasted ever before. I encourage you just to take it kind of easy and just maybe a meal or two or three, and take a day, and then as God would direct, then expanding and go further in this month of January. But at least I think it would be within reason for every one of us over these 30 days to give 3 days or 9 meals to fasting and prayer in the month of January. I believe that as the church, all of us bound together, if we would give 3 days in this month of January, at least everybody doing this. And it may be that the Lord would put it on your heart, even fasting a much more extended amount of time. But at least the 3 months, and I just would challenge you and encourage every one of you, especially in light of the fact that we all have some spiritual struggles and some strongholds that we want to see brought down, and it's not going to happen unless we are willing to fast and pray. Amen. Amen. I'm thinking about some of our children. I'm thinking about other family members, loved ones of yours, people that you're concerned about that are not saved, and it seems like it's a brick wall. You can't break through to them. You can try. You've prayed for them. You've talked to them, and you're not getting anywhere, but there seems to be this major stronghold. It's because the enemy has a hold, a stronghold in that person's life, and it requires that the people of God get sincere and fervent and determined to seek the Lord. Amen. To fast and to pray. This second strand of this important strength and power that God wants to help us with here in this year 2012. Let's look at some Bible examples. I'm just going to go through just a few of these here tonight just to encourage you, just to remind you of how God has worked in the past in the Word of God. Moses was on a 40-day fast when he received the law of God, the Ten Commandments. Esther, she called all of the Jewish nation to fast for 3 days when Haman had ordered all of the Jews to be annihilated. Esther called the nation of all of the Jews to fast for 3 days. And you know the story. God turned that situation around. Hannah was greatly distressed because she was barren and didn't have a child. And the scripture says that she wept and did not eat. And it doesn't say how long, but she wept and refused to eat. And she prayed and cried out to God. And God heard her prayer, and her son Samuel was born. Amen. Glory to God. The Apostle Paul, it was the initiation of his his ministry. Whenever he fell on the road to Damascus, the light from heaven shone and he heard the voice of the Lord. And for 3 days, the scripture says that he arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And it was in that time of fasting that Ananias comes to him and speaks to him. And it just reminds him of the faithfulness of the Lord and that the hand of God, brother Saul, the Lord is with you. And he realized the purpose of God and the call of God for the whole future of his life and ministry was revealed to him during a time of abstinence from food. 3 days of fasting. Peter was on the rooftop fasting, the scripture says. And he had this mighty revelation. This vision, you know the story, but in all of this vision that came during this time of fasting, it was revealing the fact that now the gospel was going to be preached even to the Gentiles. And so Paul's ministry started as a result of a time of fasting. Peter's ministry turned another corner, and he had a new understanding of the purpose of God in declaring the message of the gospel to the Gentiles in a time of fasting. Amen. We love the account in the book of Joel, chapter 2, where it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Amen. We love this this text because it reminds us of the fact that God wants to send revival and pour His Spirit out upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out of my Spirit. How did Joel come to that place that he had this revelation of the outpouring of the Spirit of God and revival coming in the last days? You have to back up in the same chapter to verse 15. Joel chapter 2, verse 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. It was the solemn assembly. It was the call to fast that gave to Joel this revelation of revival that was going to be poured out upon every age. The young and the old, people everywhere were going to experience the outpouring of the Spirit of God. That information came during a time of fasting. Amen. How about the Lord Himself? Jesus Himself. We know the account of Jesus in Luke chapter 4, that He was led into the wilderness, and there He fasted for 40 days, went without food, and their time of temptation that took place there. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 14, that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him through all the region round about, and He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Jesus Himself came out of that wilderness time of fasting, and his ministry started. It was the beginning, the initiation of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read on in that same chapter, in Luke chapter 4, verse 31, it says that He came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with power. Where did that power come from? A 40-day fast in the wilderness. And Jesus came out of that experience of the power of the Spirit, and He began to declare the word of the Lord with such power that they were all astonished at the power and authority that He spoke with. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou son of thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power He commandeth the unclean spirits, and they came out." And the fame of Him went out into every place of the country round about. Glory to God. Amen. He came forth in the power of the Spirit. He came forth touching the lives of people, amazing people with His teaching and His preaching. He came forth with power and authority over demonic forces and setting people free from those forces that were holding them in bondage. And He spoke with power and authority and commanded those unclean spirits to come out, and they did. All of that was immediately after His 40 days in the wilderness fasting and praying. And by the way, if you're making decisions about your future, if you're seeking the will of God about what's going to happen next in your life, whether you're 12 or 40 or 80 or whatever that your age might be, it doesn't really matter, because it's important that you know that you're following the will of God in your life. Amen. You need to know that. So if you're seeking the will of God, it's important for you to seek the Lord with fasting. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." How could you ever do that any more effectively than whenever you're willing to set aside times to fast and to pray? Amen. "Presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." When you commit yourself to the Lord in fasting and prayer, then the Lord will transform your thinking. The Lord will turn your life around, and all of the pressures and the hold that the world has upon you will be broken because you've committed yourself to the Lord, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if you're seeking the will of God, presenting yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to seek your face. I want to fast. I want to call upon the Lord and believe that he will bring about a transformation in my thinking, that he will give me victory over the influences of the world, and I won't be conformed to this world. But instead, I will be proving what is the will of God for my life. Amen. Glory to God. So if you're seeking the Lord about what's next in my life, what does the future hold? Really doesn't matter. I think everything, what college you go to, obviously, whoever you would date, certainly who you would marry, your future, the direction of your life, every decision is important. And it's important to call upon the Lord and get direction from God, seeking out his will for your life. Amen. This is a second strand of a threefold cord that is not easily broken. We talked about prayer this morning. Tonight, coupling that with fasting. And next Sunday morning, we're going to talk about almsgiving or giving and how that it is also a spiritual discipline that will help us to see great power revealed in our life, a demonstration of the power of God. When you do these things privately, secretly, then you enter into a fellowship with the Lord. And the Bible says that he will reward you openly. Amen. Glory to God. He will work in your life. If you're struggling with the fact that you really don't have a hunger for the things of God like you have in the past, let me tell you, fasting can change a lot of things. It can cause you to when you begin to set aside the food and the meals, and you begin to focus upon the Word of God in prayer, then your appetite for spiritual things becomes so much more keen. And at first, you're going to have to battle over, the flesh and your appetite and your hunger, and that's going to take a couple of days to get over that, if you ever get over it. The enemy is constantly going to be tempting you, and you're always gonna feel the pressures as far as your physical and natural appetites are concerned. But I believe if you have a desire, you really have a desire to get to know God like you have not ever known him, that this is the avenue whereby you can do that. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. When you set aside your natural appetite and you begin to pursue after the things of God, the Word of God, the presence of God, then your spiritual appetite then revives. You begin to have a desire once again for the things of the Lord. And I really believe that we live in a world where we're just bombarded with so many things of the flesh. And it's absolutely essential now in the time we're living in that we set aside these times to seek the Lord and to believe God for great spiritual power. Amen. A demonstration of his power in all of our lives. And I just pray that the Lord will deal with us about this and talk to us about this. And you'll hear the voice of the Lord. Fasting is not a diet. Fasting is a spiritual exercise. It's a time of pursuing after the things of God. Amen. Amen. It's a spiritual effort. Going without food with a purpose in mind, a desire to see God at work, moving in your life. Don't do, again, the warning from the text here is that we are not to do it like the world does. We're not to do it like the hypocrites do. the hypocrites who would make a big show of their fasting. And when you fast, be not like the hypocrites, sad countenance, disfiguring their face, that they may appear to fast. But instead, we're seeking after another kind of a reward, an open reward of God's power, a demonstration of God's power in our behalf. Amen. And I believe as we seek the Lord this way, we'll experience that kind of a revelation, that kind of a power in our lives. Hallelujah. A threefold cord. These three disciplines. And I believe that the Lord can help us to develop them in our life. What happens here in these early days of 2012 could very well set the precedent for the rest of this year. Amen. So let's seek the Lord. Let's call upon the Lord. Let's pray together. Let's fast. Let's believe God to do something in our lives that we've not experienced before. We haven't seen the hand of the Lord before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that the Lord can do some wonderful, mighty things among us if we'll just commit ourselves to obedience to His Word. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You, Lord, that You speak to our hearts and You deal with us. Lord, there's such a need. There is such a need. And Lord, we recognize that we're incapable of facing the challenges of these days. We don't have what it takes. But Lord, we're trusting that You will give strength. That You will give power, Lord, a demonstration of Your power. That You will reward openly. Lord, that we will see openly and publicly Your mighty hand demonstrated in so many of our needs. Oh God, we know, Lord, that You're leading us into this. And I pray, Lord, for those, Lord, that their spiritual desires have just waned. They're struggling right now. Not much of a hunger for God, not much of a desire for the things of the Lord. Lord, I just pray, Lord, stir up our spiritual desire, our spiritual appetite, and help us to pursue after the things of God. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's stand together here tonight. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank You, Lord, we thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. I know many of you have had times when you have fasted and prayed, sought the Lord, and you have witnessed the hand of God. Amen. So be encouraged here tonight. Be encouraged. God's word is true. And I believe He's leading us into this year, 2012. Let's obey the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to open the altars. Let's come here around the altars tonight and let's pray together. Let's call upon the Lord. And it very well may be that this would be a time when you need to make a commitment to God. Lord, for this month of January, I'm going to seek You like I haven't before. I'm going to pray like I haven't before. I'm going to fast like I haven't before, because we so need Your mighty power demonstrated among us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you pray, everybody? Let's find an altar, make an altar. Let's call upon the Lord here tonight. Praise the name of Jesus.